Let's just take some questions on the general subject of exposition, not with specificity about how do you get illustrations or whatever, because I'll come to that, but just the principle of exposition. If you have a question, just ask it and I'll try to answer it. All right?
Pastor, I preach verse by verse through books of the Bible because I feel led to do that, but sometimes I feel like that I'm missing or I'm not covering enough pertinent issues that I see in the church. Can you talk about how you can be balanced and do both of those?
Yeah, that's exactly what I've tried to say is verse by verse is something we think is wonderful, but it is, and I'm not trying to hurt your feeling, it is dull and it is deadening. That you turn your pulpit into a classroom and you're trying to teach them the meaning of every verse. Now, there is a place for that, but it's not the exposition of the Word of God. That is an explanation of the Word of God, but expository preaching is finding a truth that comes out of that passage. You know, one thing that really bothers me is for people to say, isn't the Bible such a wonderful book? It can mean so many different things at the same time. There's a Greek word for that, and it's baloney. Listen, the Bible means what it means. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. It means exactly, precisely what it means. Your job is, as an expositor, is to find out what this passage means. And so you study it in its context, you study it in its historical setting, you study it in its context in the rest of the book, you study it with the words and so forth, until you say, yes, I really know, at least I hope I know, what this means. And once you know what it means, then you draw out of that a theme. Now, it has one meaning. Listen, guys, it has 10,000 applications. 10,000 applications. Thousands upon thousands of applications. So, if you're trying to preach or discuss every verse, you just might as well pull over and park on one verse, Genesis 1:1, and never go any further. I mean, that's it. Because you'll never wring all the juice out of Genesis 1:1. But what you do is to find a theme in that passage of Scripture, something that you want for your people, something that is transformational. Preaching is not filling a bucket, it is lighting a torch. It is motivation that comes right out of the Word of God. Now, you might have a class, for example, on Romans or whatever, and you want to go verse by verse through Romans on a Wednesday night or whenever. And those things are necessary. I'm not deprecating that. I'm telling you that in my humble but accurate opinion is not real exposition. And a lot of guys say, you know, I just don't understand this. I'm preaching the Word of God. There seems to be no power. Well, they're probably teaching, and I honor them for that. But you get stuck and hung up, and you will not be able, really, to meet the great needs of your congregation if you do that. Now, what I say right now may sound like heresy to some people. I am not denigrating the Word of God. I believe every word is inspired. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. But again, you have to be selective in what you preach. So you've got a fence on this side and a fence on that side. That is your passage. You find out what it means, and then you reach in there and pull out the truths that you have for your people. Get it? Good. All right, another question. Yes, sir.
Dr. Rogers, when you're preaching through lengthy books, like if you're preaching through the Gospel of John, Is there a period of time for the length of that preaching? Because I want to understand that you could preach through those chapters and cover those verses that gather together as a theme. And so you could cover all those verses if you can gather them in themes and extract those points from them. So is there a limit when you should stop? Because you hear preachers who spend 7 years in certain books in the Bible through that. So if you would give us some light on that, thank you.
Well, I tell you, if I'm a member of that church, I'd move my membership. Yes, it's all the Word of God, but you can drown a cat in cream. All right, let's take an example. I preach through the Gospel of John. I preach through different ways. But you have to break it up. For example, the Gospel of John tells of seven miracles. And the word for miracle is Simeon, which means a sign miracle. And John said many miracles that Jesus did, many others. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing, you might have life through His name. John tells us exactly why he wrote the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John tells you how to be saved. 1 John tells you how you know you're saved. But he tells us very clearly why you have this series of miracles. So I preached a sermon called A Parade of Miracles. And I took these seven miracles and tried to find a truth in each of these miracles. And later on, I turned it into a book. I told my kids, I said, I'll give you $100 if you'll give me a good title for this book. Boy, you talk about wheels turning. But one morning when I was shaving, God gave me the title for the book. You can get it in the bookstore. It's a good book. The title of the book is Believe in Miracles, but Trust in Jesus. And it just came to me. I said, Lord, that's it. We never want to disparage miracles. But the devil can do miracles. Believe in miracles, but never trust miracles. Believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus. And then I went through each of these miracles. For example, I give you some. The first miracle was the changing of water into wine. Jesus is God's answer to man's disappointment. See, the wines of this world run out. But Jesus is God's answer to man's disappointment. And then the next one is the healing of the nobleman's son. And Jesus rebuked him for wanting to see signs and miracles. But Jesus did heal the son after he gave this man a great lesson about believing the word. And Jesus is God's answer to man's doubt. And I talked about that miracle. I talked about opening the blind man's eyes. Jesus is God's answer to man's darkness. And I talked about the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is God's answer to man's desires. What we really hunger for is the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. And we talked about that miracle. And finally, it climaxes with the raising of Lazarus. Jesus is God's answer to man's death. Amen. And all of these things, I took seven miracles to show that Jesus is the answer. Preached those miracles, got down to the end of the book. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe you might have life through His name. Believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus. So, okay, now I'm just telling you that to say, and by the way, I would suggest you get that book and preach that series. I'm serious. Put your own stuff on it, but... get the idea. Well, you have preached the Gospel of John, not all the Gospel of John. You have reached into John and pulled out a theme. The theme is believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus, a parade of miracles. You've just reached in. But from this border over here to this border over there, that's your source. You can bring a lot of other material in on top of it. But you're staying there right on through. So the string that you put your pearls on is miracles. And then if you're in one of those miracles, the string that you put your pearls on might be disappointment. might be despair. You remember when Jesus walked on the water? He said, look, what you think is going to be over your head's already under my feet. And you just keep getting these things so you can, if there's somebody out there disappointed, say, look, Jesus is the answer. Somebody out there stumbling in darkness, Jesus is the answer. And you need more than light, you need sight. And you just go right on through and show them how that Jesus is the answer. Now, then you might come back another time and preach on the Gospel of John. But this time you might get into the upper room discourse. And you might just take, you know, that I alluded to that this morning. Jesus prayed, Father, help them to know that you have loved them even as you've loved me. Well, you talk about rich preaching. Just take that upper room discourse and you niche that out and you preach from that. You don't preach all of it. If you think you have, you're insane. I don't care how long you preach, but you find in that passage what you want. I see by the old clock on the wall that time is running out. Y'all keep those cards and letters coming in. All right, let's take a break.